Hello world, welcome to the Voice of Power broadcast. I'm your host Gary Atkins, and I want to thank you for tuning in to 88.5 The Word. Today, we are going to conclude our study in the book of James. I'll be looking to James chapter 5 in your Bibles, and what a tremendous study that we've had. We have had the Word of God unveiled to us and planted into our hearts, and it has just practically laid a path for us to live practically in the kingdom of God. And James does that very well. He's very practical and helps us see the Word of God as clear as we possibly can. Thank him for that, and we thank you for tuning in today. We're going to go to God in prayer and believe him for the miraculous. You know, God is a big God. So we can ask him for big things, can't we? He is able to do exceedingly abundantly, the scripture says, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. That power is your faith, the faith that he has given you. You know, faith comes from God. The Bible says he has dealt every man a measure of faith, but you have to exhibit that faith. You have to lay that faith on the line, and that's what James talks about. He's saying that in James chapter 2, he declares that saving faith will produce works. He says, you say you have faith, but I'm going to show you my faith by my works. That's what he's saying. He's not saying that works saves you, or that you have to work to keep salvation, or to stay in covenant with God. However, he's saying that true saving faith, when you are truly born again, will produce good works. And we're learning that through our study. But we're going to go to God in prayer and believe him for the miraculous. He's a big God. And he can meet your needs and will meet your needs and bring about the impossible in your life and make it possible today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you and we just lay ourselves on the line in all-out faith. And we believe that you are God and that there is none else. And we believe that all things, whatever we ask in prayer today, if we believe, we shall receive. And we just thank you. We ask you to touch and meet every need represented under the sound of my voice. Financial needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, those who need a touch in their mind, who need the peace of God that passes all understanding, I ask you to grant it to them. For you are the Prince of Peace, and we declare that in unity today. And we just speak your word today over this broadcast, and we just ask you to anoint us, hide me behind your cross, lest I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, unveil your word to us, and show us the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. James chapter 5, and looking to verse 1, and he declares, go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. And you have heaped treasures together for the last days. Now, I want to go ahead and start from the beginning and just declare that it is not a sin to be rich. It's not a sin to have a lot of money. The sin comes into play when you place your trust in that money, or if you trust money as your God, or as your security. You know, your job is not your source. The government is not your source. The source, when you place your faith in Jesus Christ and you walk with God, and you take up your cross daily and follow him, your source is God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He will provide every need that we have. Every need that you have, he will supply. Doesn't matter what that is, whether it be a financial, physical, spiritual, he will meet the need. He is the need supplier, and we stand upon that, and we stand upon the fact that he is our source. God alone is our source. Now, what James is saying here, there was a lot of rich men throughout Palestine who were oppressing their employees. There were a lot of rich men who he was warning to howl, for miseries were coming upon them. What kind of miseries? Well, can I tell you that the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself. That's often misquoted. Money's not the root of all evil. Once again, it's not a sin to be rich or wealthy. It's what you do with it. Do you honor God with your finances? Do you honor God with the money that he has given you? Or do you hoard it up for yourself? As James says here, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. That means that that he was referring to these wealthy men of Palestine were hoarding up their riches. They were hoarding up their money. and keeping it for themselves. They were not dividing it out unto God or for the work of God's people or for the people who were working under them in the name of the Lord. You know, we have to obey the authorities above us. The Bible tells us that, that we are to subject to the authorities above us. And I respect the authority above us. However, that doesn't mean we have to respect the actions of the office of that person. Even though we respect the office, I respect the office of the president. But I don't respect every decision that he makes, nor do I agree with every decision that he makes. But I respect his position in authority. So these people who were working, James was, and he gives them advice here further on in chapter 5 and gives them encouragement. But they are subject to the authority as their employer, but their employers were not treating them fairly. They were being treated with an injustice concerning the money that was being circulated in Palestine here. And James is warning these rich men that they should take heed, because it is God who gives you what you have. Even those who are, and I know you can think of people right off the top of your head, who are in this world today, who are wealthy. They are. They have riches unknown. They have money coming out of their ears. They sit on a pile of money, yet they don't observe God in any shape or form. They don't acknowledge Him as God whatsoever. But it's the goodness of God, I want you to remember this, that brings men to repentance. And I believe that if we pray for these men and women who are wealthy in this world, that they would see that it is the goodness of God that has given them everything that they have, and they would turn to Him in repentance. I believe that. But James is warning the rich man here. Notice what he says. Verse 4, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields." In other words, those who have worked for you, which is of you, kept back by fraud. In other words, he's saying you are defrauding these people by not paying them what they are worth. And, you know, that sounds like the day we live in. You know, everybody's wanting minimum wage to go up. And I'm not against capitalism, but when capitalism becomes greed, when capitalism becomes pride, when capitalism becomes selfishness in the eyes of CEOs and those who own corporations, then I believe sin takes root, and you will see the effects of it. And we've seen it in this country. We have seen where people have hired out their work in other countries or even in this country for little to nothing. And it has hurt our economy in America. And we have seen how it has done that because of greed, all because CEOs or people who are in charge of large corporations want to hoard up money for themselves and for those who are immediately around them in the workplace, and pay those who are actually working for the benefit of the company minimum wage or very little pay. And you know, and I'm not saying that we should, everybody should make the same amount of money. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm for capitalism. I'm for being successful. However, we must take heed that we don't allow greed and pride to come before what God wants us to do for the kingdom of God. And the way you work and the way you run a business, you're doing it as unto the Lord if you serve God. And He's the one who provides for you. Therefore, those working up under you, you ought to treat them with dignity and respect and pay them what they are worth. But James is warning them because they're keeping the money back by fraud. And he says, "And the cries of the people which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord, of the Sabaoth." So God hears these people, and God sees you today. Maybe you feel like you're treated unjustly. Maybe you feel like you're not being paid what you're worth. Well, just remember that God sees you where you are. And verse 4 declares here that He is the Lord of the Sabaoth. That's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of angel armies. He is the God of victory. And remember that whatever God gives you, whether it be little or much, you take that and you sow it into the kingdom of God, and you shall reap abundantly. That's why the Apostle Paul said, if you sow sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you shall bountifully reap. Oh yes, Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus declared, "Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For what measure you give, it shall be measured back to you." And you can stand upon that word. You know, people say all the time, "Well, you can't outgive God." Well, there ain't too many people trying to outgive God. But I can assure you that if you ever took that step of faith and tried to outgive our Master, that you could not do it. You would find that He would open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings so big that you could not even contain it. Hallelujah! That's the God we serve. Be faithful with what God has given you financially, and give unto the Lord. That's the process of exchange. If this ministry has sown into your heart and into your life, you should proceed with the process of exchange and give unto this ministry financially, because I can assure you that every broadcast you hear from the Voice of Power Ministries, somebody paid for it. We don't get to do this for free. And I know people say, well, the gospel's free. Well, so is water, but you have to pay to pipe it into your house. And we have to pay to pipe the gospel throughout the world. So keep that in mind as you pray and ask God to lead you in your giving, that you could give unto ministries that have sown into your heart. But James is warning these people who are wealthy, and he's telling them that the Lord hears the cries of these employees who have been treated unjustly. Verse 5, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. That means you have lived a riotous lifestyle, and you have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter, and you have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Now, what he's saying here is that you have taken all this money, and you have lived a riotous lifestyle. You haven't given to the kingdom of God. You haven't taken care of God's people. You haven't taken care of those who need taking care of. You know, this is a problem in our country and in many countries around the world. The government is doing the job the church should be doing. The church should be the biggest charitable giving people in the world. Yet we're having to rely on the government to give government aid when the church should be the one divvying out the monies and helping people who are in need, taking care of the people God cares about. I know that's a tough word, but it's the truth. It is the truth. We are complaining about the government giving handouts when it should be the church handing out the gospel of Jesus Christ and revealing his power by giving. And let us see that today. Let us be reminded that what we have comes from God, and we are to give as we have been given to. Amen. But this is the warning of James to those who are wealthy and those who are rich. Once again, he's not saying it's a sin to be rich or a sin to be wealthy. He's saying that it's a sin to hoard up money for yourself and to keep it for yourself that you may gain thereby. Verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren. And he's exhorting the Jews in Palestine and those who are Christians in Palestine who are being persecuted by those who are wealthy, by corporations or businesses or what have you. He's urging them to be patient, therefore, brethren. Verse 7. Unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. What James is saying here is that be patient, because the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Maybe you feel like there's an injustice in your life today, but just be patient. God has something greater for you. Place your faith in Him, because any day now we can look toward the heavens, and the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. That is our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And James is exhorting the people here to be patient, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Notice what he says, that the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Now, the early and the latter rain in Palestine was a yearly event. In the early and the latter rain in Palestine, the early rain was at seed time, and the latter rain was at harvest time. You can reference that in Deuteronomy 11 and verse 14. But they are used here to picture the fruit of the harvest of souls. Amen. And the early spiritual rain fell at the founding of the church in Acts chapter 2. And I can tell you that the latter rain will be poured out at the end of this age, when the complete harvest of the church age will be gathered. Hallelujah. The former rain, the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out in that upper room, and people received His power from on high, and they spake with tongues, and tongues of fire set upon each of them. And of course, that gospel has been preached throughout this world since then, and people have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. People have been filled with the presence and power of God, an endowment of power for service. But I believe that was just the former rain. But I believe the latter rain, a great outpouring of God's Spirit, is yet to come upon this people planet, and I believe it's going to strike this planet, and we shall be here for it. And then once it's completed, once the Spirit of God has descended upon the church, then the rapture of the church will take place, and Christ will take us to the heavenly throne room of God to worship the Lamb who was slain from the foundations of the world. So be patient. The early rain has come. The latter rain is on the way. That means there's a revival coming. There's a revival coming to your church. There's a revival coming to your town. There's a revival coming to your state. I believe there's a Holy Spirit outpouring coming to this great land of America. And I believe the power of God is going to be revealed once again through the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands at the door. Remember, in verse 8, let's look at that as well. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Verse 9, of course, says, grudge not one against another. Listen, these grudges that we hold, the groanings, the murmuring, talking about one another, backbiting one another, let it be put away from you. Let it be put away from you. It's time to forgive. Forgive. Forgive that person who hurt you. Forgive that person who said something against you. Forgive them, that your heavenly Father may forgive you. And allow the love and the power of God to be present in our lives today and in our churches. That's what James is urging the people to do, because all the stress of being treated this way by those who were wealthy and by their bosses and employers, and even by the government perhaps, were causing the stress to engage with one another. So they were grudging one another. They were murmuring against one another. And that's what happens in the church so often. The pressures of life and the stress of life come upon individuals, and they begin to murmur, and it brings it into the church. And Paul said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So if you're not careful, a little bit of gossip will turn into a big, big sin against God on a corporate level with the body of believers. And let's not allow it to happen. Let's not give the devil a foothold nor a place for him to raise his head. Let us take charge in our churches and walk in the Spirit. Verse 10, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. Now I want you to underline the end of the Lord there. Notice he says, we count them happy which endure. Verse 11. In James 1 and verse 12, he said, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Sometimes you just have to put up with the tests and trials of life. But when you do, the Bible says in verse 11 here, concerning Job, that he saw the end of the Lord. What does that mean? That means there will be an end to your trial. There will be an end to testing in your life. There will be an end to that place in your life where you will have a testimony. Hallelujah. When you come through the test, you'll have a testimony. There is end in sight. There is light at the end of the tunnel. You will not always be in this place of depression. You will not always be in this place of anxiety. You will not always be in this place of utter despair over tragedy or loss in your life. God will bring victory to you. Just declare it over your life today that you are victorious in Him and that you are set free. Hallelujah. And you shall see the end of the Lord. Verse 11, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Verse 12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, nor by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into condemnation. Very practical there. James says, keep your word. If you say you'll do something, do it. If you tell God you'll do something, do it, because be sure your sin will find you out. If you tell the Lord that you will do something, if He does something for you, and we've said that many times, the get-out-of-jail-free card, you know, we want God to intervene during our biggest tragedy, and we promise Him all kinds of things. We'll go to church, we'll do this, we'll do that. But how many times do we fail to keep our word? Keep your word to God and to the people of God. Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any among you merry? Let him sing psalms. Friend, he's saying, in whatever circumstance of life you're in, pray. Seek the face of God, for God still answers prayer. You believe that? He still answers prayer. If you're afflicted in your mind, if you need peace in your heart, if there's something going on in your family or in your life, pray. If things are good, money's good, family's good, church is good, sing psalms. Be happy and declare the goodness of Almighty God and pray. And seek the face of God. Verse 13, he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Verse 14, he tells them, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I know many people take this verse, and they think that the oil is the medicinal medicine, but he's not talking about that here. He's referring to the oil as a symbol of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon his people and God healing his people in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something about this verse. If it was the oil by itself, why would we invoke the name of the Lord? Why would we call upon the elders of the church? But he says very clearly, if you're sick, number one, call the elders. Why? So they can bind together in faith and pray over you. And number two, he says, anoint with oil. That represents the presence and the anointing of God to invoke your faith in the power of God. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Invoke the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, when you pray for the sick. And believe God that that prayer of faith, verse 15, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I believe that's there because a lot of times in the scriptures and the gospels, Jesus related sickness and sin together. You have to realize that sickness is nothing but limited death. Sickness is to the body what sin is to the spirit. Let me say that again. Sickness is to the body what sin is to the spirit. And he took care of them both on the cross. He died for your spiritual sins that you may engage and be regenerated with Almighty God. But he also bore stripes upon his back that by his stripes you are and were healed. And you can declare that over your life and believe it because God has declared it in the book. And we stand upon it by faith today that by his stripes we are healed. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Listen, we need one another. The older generation needs the younger generation, and the younger generation needs the older generation. We need each other to pray for one another, to give counsel, to give advice, to confess our faults. We need somebody we can go to and say, hey, here's what I'm struggling with. Bear my burden. Agree with me in prayer. That's why Jesus says where two people touch any one thing and agree, it shall be accomplished, it shall be done. And we need each other. We need to bear one another's burdens and pray for one another and confess our faults and believe God for healing. I believe James was referring to the people in Palestine because they were bitter toward one another because of the stress of life. And that's happening in our day. The stress of life is making us bitter toward one another. Maybe somebody's more successful or maybe somebody isn't facing the trial that you're facing. Doesn't matter. Just go to them and say, help me bear my burden, pray with me, and love one another. And he gives an example here in verse 17. The assurance of answered prayer. He says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So God invoked the man of God to declare a word and pray, and he said it would not rain for 3.5 years. 3.5 years later, he prayed again, and God filled the clouds with water, and the abundance of rain came upon the earth, all because of the prayer of faith by Elijah. He was praying the will of God. And when you pray the will of God, you can be assured that he hears your petition and shall give you what you desire. Verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Remember James in James chapter 1 said that when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. Notice in verse 19, he says, if any of you do err from the truth, he's talking about backsliders there, and one converts him, he has covered a multitude of sins. Listen, there are a lot of people out there who are backslidden. They knew the Lord at one time, and they have walked away from God, and that sin has finished in their life, and they are brought to the place of death. Spiritual separation from God. Not cessation of life, but separation from God. And it's these that we need to pray that God brings them back to the foot of the cross. That God brings them back to the place of salvation and regeneration in Him. So if you know any backsliders, remember that if you bring them to the cross, you cover a multitude of sins. Why? A multitude of sins because when they backslide, their state is worse than it was before. That's why Peter said it's like a pig going back to the mud. He's worse than he was before. It would have been better if he had never known the Lord. Because sin goes deeper. Sin gets stronger. Sin does not stagnate. You go deeper into sin when you backslide. That's why when someone is backslidden, we must pray that God brings them through the power of the Spirit back to the foot of the cross. And we be the example to them because when we do that, we cover a multitude of sins. Because the sins not only affect the backslider, but it affects his family, his spouse, his church, and the people around him. So let us pray for the backslider that he comes back to Jesus Christ and never stop praying that prayer of faith. My friend, that wraps it up for today. That's all the time we have. We have concluded our study in James, and what a great study it has been. You know, we at the Voice of Power broadcast want to extend our gratitude toward all of you who listen and support this broadcast. Without your support, we could not do what we do. But I would ask today that if this ministry has blessed you and sown seed into your heart, then allow the process of exchange to proceed. Consider sowing a financial gift into the Voice of Power broadcast, and your financial gift will go to help keeping this broadcast on the air and the gospel of Jesus Christ going around the world. And you can give three ways. Number one, you can write to us at P.O. Box 272, Bethania, Bethania, North Carolina, 27010. And you can make your checks payable to Voice of Power Ministries. You can give, number two, online. Go to our website, voiceofpower.org, and there is a button you can click, Give. Click on the Give link, and it will guide you on how to give online. And thirdly, probably the easiest way, just pick up that cell phone, that smartphone that's sitting right beside of you, or you're possibly listening from it today. Just take that and text an amount, a dollar amount, to 336-747-3336. That's 336-747-3336. Just text a dollar amount to that number, and it will give you instructions there to put in certain information. And you will only have to put that information in one time, and it will never ask you to do that again. And you can just save that number to your smartphone and give on any occasion as the Lord leads you. Just save it as VOP Ministries or Voice of Power Ministries or however you would like, and you can give at any time. Today, if you give, we want to send you a gift. We will send you a CD of me quoting scriptures concerning healing. And this is great if you have someone who is sick in their body, in your family, or you know someone who needs healing in their body. You can play this CD in their bedroom while they sleep. Play it during the day, put it on repeat, and they can just hear the power of God coming through His Word in these healing scriptures. And we'll send that to you. But we want to thank you for all of your support and your prayers. And until next time, remember, the just shall live by faith.